I intend on doing this morning is reading a piece from a wonderful periodical, a rather spottily put out periodical, although they're trying desperately to publish monthly, called Scrap Paper Review. Now, WBAI and Scrap Paper Review have a sort of a symbiotic relationship. I noticed this little bit of newsprint in a friend's mailbox one day. He happens to be on the mailing list. And I took it out, and I looked at it. And I looked through it, and I saw that it was this, I guess it was a literary magazine set in sort of like just plain old typeface, nothing fancy about it at all. I found that it also had a little advertisement for, or as some people say, advertisement, for WBAI. And it just said WBAI, Underground Radio Gets a Facelift, 99.5 FM. And I thought, oh, how lovely. We are advertising in this tiny little underground sort of artistic endeavor here. And it's published out in New Jersey. And I read the articles in it, or the pieces. They publish stories, poems, articles, drawings, whatever. And looked through it and said, oh, another struggling bunch of artists trying to survive in the day of glossy magazines that cost $4 at a newsstand or what. And I pretty much forgot about it. This was in, I guess, last summer or something. Recently came to my attention that there was a copy of the October issue in just about everybody's mailbox here. Now that's impressive, because we got well over 200 mailboxes here. So that meant that A, somebody broke their back bringing all of the issues here because they weren't mailed, and B, they must have come into a little money to have put out such an impressive run. So I leafed through it, and the October issue is dedicated to Pooh. That's Winnie the Pooh for all of you uninitiated out there. There's a wonderful piece in the magazine, which basically takes up the whole magazine. And the premise of it is, I'm not going to ruin it for you. It's a beautiful piece written in the style of A.A. Milne. And it's very sad, very wonderful, and it rang my bell. So I'm going to read that tonight. And if everything works out, the good Lord willing and the crick don't rise, the guys who are Scrap Paper Review will be my guests. Not on this show. Sorry, folks, if you're nodding off at this point, you might not get to hear them because they'll be on the morning show. I'm going to have to think of a title for that thing next week. This morning we're having someone that John brought in, and David Rothenberg, and a few other various and sundry things. Busy, busy, busy drive time stuff, you know, but we're not going to get into that now. That's a long way away. So I'm going to read that. Let's see, everything's been pushed back a half an hour. So if I say I'm going to read something at 5, which was a good time to read something, I guess I'll read it at about 4:30. And I hope, just for my own sake, my own stamina, that it's not going to be too much more than a half an hour. But it's a lovely, lovely piece, and it will no doubt get you very nostalgic for childhood and very depressed that you can't go back to that particular space, but oh, it'll just make you wistful and weepy and wonderful. And I am about to endeavor to read a wonderful piece from the Scrap Paper Review, which, as I said, has fallen into our collective laps here at WBAI over the past couple of years. The guys who put it out, A.D. Sullivan and M. Alexander, are fans of the station, specifically Late Night, and they like us and we like them, and I like them so much that I'm going to read this. And the title, of course, in the style of A.A. Milne, is very, very long, and it is called "The Next to Last Lost Manuscript of Winnie the Pooh Found in the Vault of Walt Disney, Hidden All These Years Out of Jealousy," where Winnie the Pooh meets the Stranger, Eeyore, Rabbit, Owl, Piglet, Tigger, and goes to the Enchanted Place at least one more time. It was a bright and sunny day in late autumn, and autumn for Pooh was both the best and worst of times in the year. The best because he liked the changing colors of the leaves, liked the wind and the way it blustered and shook the tops of the trees, as if shaking loose the very last leaf there. Sometimes, when Pooh had nothing better to do, which was quite often, he would sit on the stone on top of the hill and stare at that leaf, waiting for it to fall. It took a very long time sometimes, teetering and tottering there, waving at him spitefully in the wind, saying in its own quiet way that it might never fall. Pooh didn't mind. He had all the time in the world. The air was clear and clean and bright. Only there were times when that same cool, bright day made him think of 11 o'clock when he would go home and have a little something. This, of course, reminded him about the worst thing concerning autumn, which was that there would be no more bees until spring. And where there were no more bees, there was no honey. This thought made him feel sad, for it made him think how very, very careful he had to be when he had a little something at 11 o'clock. He didn't want to take too much of that little something, although he always did in spite of himself, drinking a whole jar, for instance, instead of a half. It was this particular thought which occupied him on this one November morning, the last leaf still clinging to the top of the old tree, apparently immune to the furious wind which blustered and prayed around the branches and Pooh. It was cold. Pooh shivered. "Oh, bother," Pooh said to himself, not particularly disturbed by the cold, but by the fact that it was growing close to 11 o'clock, and he could almost hear those jars of honey calling to him over the meadow from his and Piglet's house. The leaf did not at all look ready to fall from its tiny perch high up in the tree, and Pooh found himself wondering if he went away, say for a little smackerel of something, might the leaf not still be there waiting when he returned, perhaps even that much closer to falling down? Yet Pooh knew the minute he turned his back, the minute he took his attention off that frail little citizen above, the leaf would come scurrying down behind him, and it would certainly be terrible to miss that. So he sat there, waiting. Not impatiently, mind you, for even in the direst of moments, Pooh rarely hurried. He was like the honey in those jars of his, quicker a little in the warmth, but seldom fast. Perhaps Piglet would be thoughtful enough to bring one jar along, Pooh thought, cheerfully trying to picture the small pink creature carrying such a big, big jar. "Oh, Pooh," a voice said suddenly from just down the hill and at the edge of the woods. This rather startled Pooh from his thoughts of honey. "Winnie the Pooh?" It was a strange voice that came from the woods, one that Pooh couldn't place, yet was certain that, for some reason, did have a place. If only he had had a brain in which he could put these things like the cupboard where he put his jars of honey, peeping in now and then just to be sure of what he knew. It was this familiar haunting that turned his head toward the immediate woods, keeping an eye, of course, on that precarious leaf. He spoke to the leaf. "Now don't you go falling down on me," he said, "before I have a chance to come see." The leaf fluttered slightly as if agreeing. But the minute Pooh turned his back, it came sailing down with a sigh. Pooh, however, never did quite turn his back, and turned with paws out to catch the fragile leaf as it came. "Gotcha!" he yelped gleefully, and gently laid the red-faced friend to rest. "You'll be safe there," he said, pushing other browner leaves up around it. Then down the hill he tumbled, rather happy, rather sad. He was happy that he had finally managed to see that last leaf fall, teetering down like a tiny kite. It reminded him of times when his big kite had looked down that small, high up in the air. There were the days when Christopher Robin had still been around to tell Pooh that the kite was high up in the air and not really small like a leaf. Christopher Robin had told him so many things that it sometimes made Pooh dizzy. Not that any of those things really ever stuck in his head. One needed a brain for that, and Pooh certainly did not have one of those. But Christopher Robin had gone such a long, long time before that, Pooh could hardly remember even him, just as he could hardly remember the leaf that had lain down only minutes before. And what was sad about that leaf that he could remember was the fact that it would be a whole year before he could see the last leaf it fall again. "No bother. At least I can get a little smackerel of something now," he said, consoling himself, starting himself in the direction of home, the voice at the bottom of the hill quite forgotten as well. Forgotten, that is, until it came again. "Winnie the Pooh!" Pooh stopped, quite puzzled by the voice, scratching his head as if this was the first time he'd heard it, but again struck by something that he should have remembered. "I'm Pooh," he said slowly. "At least I think I am. Or I was when I left Piglet. Perhaps I should go and find Piglet and ask if I still am." Actually, Pooh felt rather silly talking to the air as he did. A tree or leaf would have been different, even a twig. Something to look at, to listen to. But the air, in spite of the blustery wind, seemed too fleeting to hold any attention for a poor stuffed bear like Pooh. He waited, though, and listened again, trying to find something to which he could attach the voice. That's when the large man stepped out from behind the old oak tree. He was as old as the tree and equally gnarled, and stopped with a great brown cane wavering before him as he moved. He had a cape around his shoulders, matching the gray of his hair, thin gray hair that streamed from his head after he lifted off his cap. "Pooh?" the man said, his wrinkled lips pursing as he pronounced the name. "Pooh, I can't believe it's you. After all this time. Pooh." "That's me," Pooh said, rubbing his stuffed belly. "At least I think it's me." Again, he wished that Piglet was there to tell him one way or the other. But more than that, he wished for his little friend and the big heavy jar of honey that his little friend would be carrying, just for Pooh. And the stranger, like the voice before, seemed unusually familiar. Although, search as he might, Pooh could find nothing in that empty head of his that could give this stranger a name. "Don't you remember me, Pooh?" the stranger asked, his voice weak, strained, as he stepped forward and peered at Pooh through the thick round specks. His eyes were blue and bloated behind those glasses, like big fat marbles that Christopher Robin used to play with. A gold chain glittered between the wings of his cape, attracting Pooh's attention away from the face. It only made him think more of those jars of honey home, about a particular jar of honey that Piglet might be carrying. Pooh suddenly began to worry that such a jar would prove too much for his little friend, and he would stumble with a jar that big over the big stones in the path. Certainly, he should go look for the creature and save him his long journey here. Clearly, too, it was near enough 11 for a little taste of something. But toward the man, Pooh shook his head doubtfully. The stranger sighed, and leaning on his cane, wavered, his eyes surveying the hills around him. There seemed to be admiration in those blue eyes, even recognition. He sniffed the air, even, and smiled, although in that smile Pooh sensed a great sadness, which Pooh did not understand at all. "Am I supposed to know you?" Pooh asked bravely, sniffing too. The smell of the stranger was unmistakably familiar. "But I thought you might," the stranger said, looking up the hill again, gauging it, seeming to compare it to some other place of a similar nature. "I knew you and this place a long time ago." "Me?" Pooh said, rather surprised, but more hungry now than anything. It was those jars of honey again, calling to him from home, telling him over and over that it was most certainly past time for a little something. Again, bravely, he faced the man. "I am rather used to stopping for a little something about this time of day, and I was wondering if you'd like to come home and have a little something with me." The stranger looked down, the blue eyes bloated by the specks and now misted with something else. "Why, thank you, Pooh," he said in a voice weaker than usual. I would like that very much." So off they went, much to Pooh's relief, the hand of the stranger slipping into the paw of the bear, as if it belonged there. Off they went, almost skipping, almost laughing, headed for Pooh's and Piglet's house, where many jars of honey waited, all of them dancing in Pooh's empty head, like falling leaves. Which one would he select? Not that it mattered much. It was fun thinking about them. For one moment, Pooh wondered what Piglet would say, his bringing home a stranger like this. "Oh, bother," he said to himself. "It's my house, too, and I'm sure Piglet wouldn't mind at all. He is rather fond of guests." Hand in hand, they went down the hill, down to Piglet and Pooh's house, down to the door, which was suspiciously open when they arrived. Pooh said, chin in paw. "Piglet must have been in a terrible hurry." "Piglet? In a hurry?" the stranger said, leaning forward on his cane toward the door. "That certainly isn't the Piglet I remember. Rabbit, yes. Even Tigger in his own bouncy way. But Piglet?" Oh, Pooh said, looking in the sand just outside the door where tiny Piglet footprints showed. "Piglet feet," the stranger remarked, chuckling to himself as if he'd said something funny. It seems that he was carrying something very heavy. "Heavy?" Pooh said, picturing again that earlier vision of Piglet coming to see him with a big jar of honey. "Maybe we should go look for him in case he's gotten hurt." "Perhaps we should," the stranger agreed. But the smell of honey lingered in Pooh's nostrils. He could hardly just go away without a little taste. "Do you think it would hurt anything if we should stop for a little smackerel of something before we went?" The stranger smiled in a slow, warm way. "No, Pooh, I don't think it would harm anything if we did that. Maybe we could have that little something." The stranger laughed, shaking his cane, tapping the tip against the banister of the porch. "All those years, Pooh, you haven't changed one little bit." It was certainly a puzzle, staring into the cupboard and finding that indeed a whole jar of honey was gone. Of course, Pooh counted again, coming up with a different figure each time he did. But in the end, there was still the space and the mark in the dust on the shelf to show where one jar had been. There were marks in the dust of Piglet's hands, which said something for that as well. "It does look like our little friend has been here," the stranger said with a hum, "but darned if I know why." "For me," Pooh said. "He brought one for me." And since there was nothing else to say, they both sat to yet another jar. When it was empty, it was Pooh that sighed. Not that he minded sharing a little something with a friend, or even a stranger. It was just that spring seemed terribly far away, and now he was missing two jars of honey, not one. And there was the problem of Pooh himself, for the longer he sat there, the more tempting those jars of golden liquid seemed, all of them just brimming with sweetness. They sat and sat, the stranger looking at every single board in the house, at the cracks in the floor, at the seam in the ceiling, at the walls, cupboards, and windows, his eyes wide behind his glasses like a child's. "Still the same," he mumbled, "not one bit older at all." Then with a complete change of mood, he laughed heartily, a rickety laugh that came in waves, and with each wave a cough, and with each cough another sense of familiarity. Then the stranger frowned. "Perhaps we should go and look for Piglet," he said, standing, looking like a giant in Pooh's poor kitchen. "Oh, Piglet," Pooh said, jumping up, but pausing long enough to eye that one jar in his cupboard with the loose lid and the drip of honey down its side. Again, Pooh thought of Piglet and that missing jar. Yes, we must go and find Piglet. "But where do we look first?" the stranger asked. "Maybe Piglet went to visit Eeyore at Pooh Corner?" "Eeyore," the stranger said, rolling the name over and over on his tongue, pronouncing it, then repronouncing it slightly different. "Eeyore. How is that poor, miserable donkey? Indeed, I wouldn't mind seeing that fellow myself." "Eeyore?" The name seemed easier now as the old man shook his head. "Eeyore." "You know him too?" Pooh asked, when much to his relief and disappointment they moved out from the honey-flavored kitchen to the porch where the air smelled of pine. The wind blustered here, whispering through the empty trees about the coming of winter.